To SER's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff. It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. My name is Sophie Lai. Hope you're having a cracking Saturday morning. I'm so excited. It's finally warm and we can actually enjoy the outdoors while indulging in all the arts and culture that is happening around Sydney. We have a massive show for you today. We're going to be chatting with Nio Parr. She's the founder of Make Nice, and they are holding their own conference. So we're going to be catching up with her about that. I don't know about you, but I love cats. I can't own them because I have two very cantankerous dogs. But if you are a cat lover, there is an album out for cats, done by the RSPCA, that might appeal to their oral senses. We're going to be chatting with Dr. Jade Norris from the RSPCA to tell us a bit more about that and why they have created a cat album. Also, Blake Howard will be dialing in for a bit of a gaggle of geeking. So much geek news happening this week. So we're going to punch through that. But I don't know about you, but Australians, we really do like to whinge. You probably don't admit it. I don't admit it, but I know I do my fair share, and we really do complain a lot. So up next, there's actually a place for you to let loose on your rant. We're going to be chatting to the people behind the complaint department next. But to get you there, here's a brand new tune from Mount Kimby. They just released this, their album. Oh God, I've been waiting for so long. Their new album's called Love What Survives. This one's called We. Hope you enjoy this new one from the British duo.
The City of Sydney is seeking community members to join the Inclusion Advisory Panel. Can you provide expert advice about improving inclusion for people with disability to help with planning, policy development, sustainability, and community consultation? Your expertise in the disability field will be highly valued. Applications close 5 p.m. Friday, the 29th of September, 2017. Visit cityofsydney.newsouthwales.gov.au/inclusion or call 9265 9333. Sponsors of 2SER.
Spark your creativity these spring holidays at the National Institute of Dramatic Art. Whether you have some experience or none at all, NIDA Open has a course to suit you. Acting, impro, filmmaking, musical theatre and more. Short courses for kids and adults start September 23 at locations across Sydney. Courses fill fast. Book now at open.nida.edu.au. NIDA, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
You're listening to So Hot Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. The 2017 Underbelly Arts and Lab Festival is about to set sail in early October with over 100 emerging artists showcasing 21 bold new projects at the National Art School. Artist Angela Garrick and curator Yaron Gatsby are the creators of the Complaint Department, and we're going to be doing a bit of complaining with them. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. Anytime. Now, personally, what is your favourite thing to complain about?
At the moment, I don't necessarily enjoy complaining about the current political climate, but personally, I'm pretty like upset at the way queer families are being maligned and spoken down to by the general populace currently. That's really quite upsetting.
Yeah. I mean, so what is the Complaint Department? How did you come up with it? Because, I mean, I'm sure, as you mentioned, with the current political climate, there's heaps to complain about.
Well, basically, me and Yaron wanted to, and Nick, who is not here, but he's involved in the project, we wanted to work on a collaborative project that would draw music with kind of considered collected content from the public. And I guess complaining is a metaphor for everyone's inner thoughts. We're not trying to solicit negativity from people, but I guess that's the title that we came up with, Complaint Department, which had a kind of funny, 90s kind of,
it's
businessy ring to it or something. But yeah, complaining's symbolic of just your inner thoughts and gripes and, you know, modern society and, you know, modern life can be frustrating. So,
but it's also just like, you know, getting things off your chest.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, especially like in the midst of like such an like online day-to-day existence in which you do kind of share your thoughts and opinions with your online communities. It's like pretty commonplace to express your discontent. So, yeah, we're, like, welcoming people to kind of channel that for this particular art project.
So how does it all work? How do people get in touch? And do they just feed you complaints? How does this project work?
Well, we've been gathering complaints in a number of ways. We built a website in which people are able to submit complaints via a form. We also held a complaint drive and fundraiser last week which was basically just a gig at the Marrickville Bowling Club, and we just invited people to like lodge complaints physically. We also have a Twitter. I don't know, we've just been like gathering complaints via
any means necessary.
It's not hard to get people to complain, though.
It's like, it's once that you get them started, they just can't stop, can they?
Yeah, it's like therapy.
But at Underbelly, we're going to select a few of them, workshop them with a small group of musicians that we've formed, and they're going to interpret them musically. So I guess that's the second half of the project and the presentation at Underbelly. But I guess both sides of the project are funny and silly, but also serious at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. Well, what has been the main nature of people's complaints that have already submitted?
They've been pretty diverse.
Yeah, every single thing, really. We've got so many now. Some of them are commentaries on the current political climate. There's been a lot about the marriage equality debate. There's been a lot that are just about daily life, about
the weather, garbage people,
lots of commuting, which I think is interesting because I do a lot of commuting and I have intense thoughts while I'm commuting. So when I read one that's about commuting, I feel happy almost.
You're not the only one that feels this way. Has it been cathartic for you to know, like, oh, this person thinks the same way I do when you kind of read through the complaints?
Yeah, I think it has been kind of encouraging to realize that you share similar grievances and frustrations with your immediate community. It's, yeah, affirming.
Yeah, to me, when I read them, I feel happy inside or something, just because humans are complex creatures and I don't know. Everyone has thoughts and feelings. And I feel like a lot of the time I'm online on social media, I end up reading, you know, comments a lot. And
I do the same. People like never read the comments. I'm like, but I can't. It's a spiral, but I just can't.
It's all about the comments.
Yeah, I read the comments.
That's where it gets interesting.
I always feel frustrated and annoyed, but I'm addicted to reading them. And then a lot of the time, you know, it's all these voices shouting. I don't know, but complaint department, it's more singular because it's unaffiliated with anything. It's just people complaining about whatever. So it's more human in a sense, even though it's anonymous.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. can you read a couple of that for us? Or?
Yeah.
Great. Alrighty.
Okay, so these are all anonymous. Of course.
Of course. Your identities will be protected, we swear.
All right. So I'll read out one of the complaints.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from Anonymous, just to be clear. The other week, a lady slammed herself next to or slightly on top of me on the train. She was eating peanut butter toast and chewing loudly, and a piece of said peanut butter flew onto my coat. I felt too awkward and powerless to say anything as she was engrossed in a conversation with her co-traveller, so I scraped the peanut butter off in silent disgust. In hindsight, I maybe should have voiced my concern as if this is a habit for her. One day it could land on someone with a peanut allergy, forever silently disgusted.
I actually cringe listening to that. That's awful.
I have one from our fundraiser. Complaint number 18. My ex doesn't like any of my stuff on Facebook anymore, but likes other people's comments on my stuff. What up with that? I have one more good one that I would like to read.
I'll go for it.
It's complaint number 23. It smells like pancakes and maple syrup on the train. WTF.
People actually bring pancakes onto the train. Random.
Yeah, lots of commuting.
Now, as you mentioned, this is all manifesting in a musical project at the festival.
Yep.
Can you explain to us a bit more about the ensemble that you've kind of gathered to kind of interpret the complaints?
Yeah, well, basically we're collaborating with 5 Sydney-based musicians that all have their own practice and their own projects. And they are going to be working together in the lab period and performing the workshopped musical iterations of complaints live.
So during the lab as a group, we're going to be dissecting and interpreting these complaints. And for example, it's possible that we may categorize a series of complaints as anger or frustration. And then with musicians, we're going to discuss how one might sonically represent
those feelings.
What might sonically present these feelings and emotional grievances and frustrations.
So none of the complaints will become actual lyrical content?
No. That would be interesting, but yeah. Anything's possible. Let's see what happens.
We're keeping the parameters pretty loose at the moment.
But yeah, I guess part of that interpretation and musical presentation is looking at how ideas are synthesized in a sense and how symbols and signs work and how things become other things. So in a sense, it's a consolation or an optimistic gesture that these will start out as complaints and then the end product will be...
The way in which they're translated.
Yeah, like a sonic...
sonic...
extravaganza.
Reinterpretation.
So it's overall, it's positive and it's fun and optimistic and looking at like the complexities of everyday life. So, yeah.
Sounds like a fabulous project. Can't wait to check it out. But thanks. Angela, Yaren, thanks so much for joining us here on 2SER.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Sophie.
That was Angela Garrick and Yaren Gatsby from the Complaint Department giving the scoop on their project at the Underbelly Arts and Lab Festival 2017. It all kicks off in October. If you're still in the mood to complain, you can submit them to complaintdepartment.org.au. We'll put all those details up on 2ser.com. Next up, we have Gaggle of Geeks, Blake Howard, but to get you there, brand new tune from Bus Vipers. He's performing tonight at the Golden Age Cinema. This one's called Fluid.
At UTS on Broadway opens from 2 until late every weekday, making it the perfect spot for an early finish or relaxing after work. With craft beer, seasonal draft specials and cocktails on tap, come and unwind in the Loft's shady courtyard, soundtracked each evening by local acoustic musicians. The Loft Bar at UTS on Broadway is your inner city oasis in the heart of Ultimo. 2SER sponsors.
Queer Screen Film Fest hits Sydney this month with 20 of the best new LGBTIQ films from around the globe. With $1 from every ticket sold being donated to the Equality Campaign, there is no better reason to immerse yourself in a week of movies. Book now at queerscreen.org.au. Queer Screen Film Fest, Event Cinemas, George Street, September 19 to 24. 2SER is a proud media partner of Queer Screen Film Fest.
You're listening to So Hot Now with me, Sophie Lai, your weekly dose of arts and culture. You just heard from there from Bus Vipers, from his debut record, Federal Highway, and he's playing for free. Yes, I said for free tonight at the Golden Age Cinema. So if you like the sound of that and free things, well, that's your Saturday night sorted. Anyhow, it's time for...
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard.
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Soph. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. It is finally warm. Spring finally feels like it's here, and which kind of forces me not to be in my house and geek out, but geek out outdoors now.
Yeah, if you just move a chair outside, and so you can see the television from inside, I think that counts as geek summer.
Yes.
So the sun is hitting your body while you're still Netflixing and chilling, I think that's fine.
Yes. That is done.
Perfectly acceptable.
But, Blake, it's a huge week for geeks this week. Like, massive news. Just bang, 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 bang.
Yes. We talked last week. Colin Trevorrow was out of Star Wars Episode 9. Kathleen Kennedy sort of not seeing eye to eye with him. And we were throwing out names like, oh, Patty Jenkins, Ed DuVernay. We're getting excited.
More Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, more Ryan Johnson, but in the words of Rebecca Keegan from Vanity Fair, Kathleen Kennedy said, "Help us, J.J. Abrams, you're our only hope," and brought J.J. Abrams back into the fold for Star Wars Episode 9. So leading perfectly in, this is the guy who did The Force Awakens. I'm a massive fan of The Force Awakens. I think it's excellent. Mm-hmm. I think he did a brilliant job. And, you know, they're bringing him back. They're going the tried and true model, someone who knows how to work with them. And they've given him some faith to push the release date slightly, so to give him a little bit more time so there's not as much of a pressure rush to get this happening. So really good stuff there. And actually leads pretty much perfectly into our next story, which is that it will now be released in the same month, December 2019, in the same month as Wonder Woman 2 is slated to release.
What?
Yes.
That's... Usually no one wants to even go there, but now...
I know. That's what it's looking at like right now. Look, it might change closer to the release date, but Wonder Woman 2 with director Patty Mother Flippin' Jenkins, who has closed the deal to be back and probably getting a stack more money. There's a couple of estimates about, you know, some sources on Vanity Fair. Justin Kroll's article is really good. It basically says she's about $8 million to write and direct and produce it. This is actually making her the highest female paid director of all time. But I understand that she's also got a back end in there as well, which means that's sort of like industry speak for you actually have like a contract where if the movie makes a sack of money and is like really well received, obviously, that you actually get a cut of that as well. So I'm looking forward to what I hope is another awesome Wonder Woman and Patty Jenkins to get paid.
Well, she did create, like, you know, the highest grossing superhero film of 2017 and the first one led by a woman, and everyone was like, yes, for this year anyway.
It makes sense. She deserves all of those accolades. So, yeah, massive director news back to back this week. You know, some really cool stuff there. But we have to kind of bring the show slightly down.
Yeah.
Because the... And I'll let you eulogize the amazing Len Wein, who passed away earlier on in the week, actually just after our last show.
Yeah, so people who don't know who Len Wein is, he is actually the co-creator of Wolverine and Swamp Thing. So you know that movie that you've been spending shit ton of like money on? with, like, you know, Hugh Jackman as the star. Yeah, he created that character. So, and he's also, and Swamp Thing, which was also made very famous by Alan Moore, but he's been around the industry since, like, he's been a mainstay at Marvel and at DC. And he's always had this very interesting sense of humor as well, because he's been ill for quite a while, and every time he's just been like joking about Wolverine, going, really wish I could have his like healing factor. And just, all right, guys, stop liking that I'm okay. You're using up all my data. It's just it's beautiful things like that. And like, he'll be very missed in the comic book industry because he also created like amazing characters in X-Men, like Colossus, Storm, and Nightcrawler. He created Nightcrawler, Blake.
You've just named probably my top three characters, which is Wolverine, Nightcrawler, and Storm. So, you know, he's a huge force. I love hearing about these guys whose names aren't immediately recognizable. Like with the broader Marvel stuff, you hear names like Stan Lee, and everyone sort of flips their lid. But you know, names like Len Wein and names like Jack Kirby and names like Chris Claremont in the X-Men universe. These are names that, if you're not familiar with them, they're kind of super important sort of carriers of these characters' torches. And without Len Wein's, you know, amazing creation, Fox would have no money in superheroes.
I mean,
every movie in the superhero franchise in Fox is a Wolverine movie, essentially. He's such a massive focus, and Hugh Jackman is a superstar because of him. So, and he did a nice little tribute this week, took a photo and said, you know, thanks to the man who kind of changed my life, you know, created a character that became such a huge part of who I am. So awesome stuff there. Sad for his passing, but a legend. So, you know, awesome stuff.
But there was also another sad passing, Blake, in the legendary film world.
Yeah, this morning, the absolute legend, Harry Dean Stanton, passed away at age 91 in LA. And he's, to say legendary and iconic and sort of maverick awesome, all the names, you know, there's a name that sort of you eliminate the boxes. He becomes number one on the top. He's so, you know, from iconic roles, like he plays Brett in the original Alien. So he's one of the guys in the crew of the Nostromo in Alien. He's most recently, in 2017, was Carl Rod in Twin Peaks, the new Twin Peaks show. If you don't know the name Harry Dean Stanton immediately, I know you'll know this person. If you remember the security guard in The Avengers that tells Mark Ruffalo that says he's got some issues, that is Harry Dean Stanton. He's been in so many films, Seven Psychopaths, you know, he was in, I'm just going through, he's been in Alpha Dog, Green Mile, like this is Inland Empire, Paris, Texas, The Pledge, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I mean, this guy has been in a stack of movies, and he's really one of the more sort of interesting people and lovable people in the entire Hollywood film industry. When Harry Dean Stanton does a role, he's kind of, I don't know, he's just got this essence where he doesn't have to change it up. He's not one of those character actors that has to sort of disguise himself or camouflage.
Mm.
He's just got this authenticity of a man that's lived life hard and tough. And in every role, you just find yourself falling into him. And so it's devastating that he's passed, but he's lived till 91 and he's left a legacy of incredible roles and incredible films and recently incredible TV with David Lynch. And, you know, I'm devastated that he's passed, but holy, holy moly, like what an incredible performer. So if you haven't seen Alien, or if you love Alien and you don't realize that that's Harry Dean Stanton, go back and watch it. If you have The Avengers today, even if you just skip to that scene and watch that legendary security guard just drop a killer joke and walk out of the movie and sort of steal the thunder of Mark Ruffalo for 5 minutes. Or if you're a Twin Peaks, you know, the most recent series, The Return, obsessive, go and check out a few episodes because he's along there. But if you are a Harry Dean Stanton aficionado, like I am, I will most certainly be checking out Paris, Texas in his honour sometime today. He's just a legend, so yeah, a bit sad. So sad to hear Len Wein, Harry Dean Stanton, but these guys are legends and they're going to live on, and their portrayals and performances and characters are going to live on for a long time.
Yeah, their characters, they will live. They will live for a very, very long time. So hit your comic book store as well while you're going. I was about to say the DVD store, but that doesn't happen anymore. So you can still hit the comic book store, but just not the DVD store.
Hit the comic books, maybe a JB Hi-Fi in Sydney. You can pick up some Harry Dean Stanton, but I'm sure you can jump onto the iTunes or to the Netflixes and find a Harry Dean Stanton movie. You'd be crazy not to.
Exactly. Now, speaking of comics, so we're going to move back into the film world again with Hellboy. They've released the first look and they've recast the character that Ed Skrein stepped down from because of whitewashing.
Yes. So we have two bits of good news to finish on. Daniel Day Kim from Lost has picked up the role of from Ed Skrein, basically, has been handed the torch to an actual Asian actor playing an Asian character in the new Hellboy, which is pretty awesome. So to be handed over
I appreciate it as an Asian going, no.
Yes, like, finally. But, you know, some good justice there. They picked it up. And I guess, you know, they've done the right thing, the whole production team of Hellboy, to make that casting happen. But also, the really cool thing is they gave us a look at Hellboy himself. So David Harbour, who is from Stranger Things, is playing, and this is, I guess, one of the cool things I would say is he's playing a more horrific Hellboy. So I think one of the great descriptions I heard is that, so Ron Perlman's the kind of Hellboy that you would want to be friends with, and David Harbour's Hellboy is something that you are meant to be terrified by. And so if you have a look at him, he is this absolutely swole, completely shredded, like ginormous version of Hellboy. And I actually don't know if David Harbour has, like, just taken steroids or, you know, testosterone and hit the gym insanely, or whether it's prosthetic, but he looks freaking epic and massive and scary as Hellboy. And so, I mean, the brief looks that we've had at him, he looks freaking amazing. And, you know, really great casting, has that incredible, interesting face and square jaw. And, yeah, he's, you know, it's not the cute sheriff who's lovable under there. He's this incredibly swole, evil-looking Hellboy. So really cool.
Like, I was going to say, like, when I saw that photo, I'm like, weren't you like a pudgy sheriff just 2 months ago? What the hell happened? What a transformation. Like, I swear you just finished shooting Stranger Things.
Testosterone. Testosterone. Sorry, just picking a cold. If that's a real man under there, and I don't actually think it's all David Harbour, but if any of that is David Harbour, there's been some serious, serious help. In the form of some supplements that you can't buy legally in your local vitamin store. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about movie magic, that's the kind of movie magic we're talking about here. It's prosthetics and it's Mexican supplements.
But with Daniel Day Kim's casting, I was so happy because in a way I was also going, eat that, CBS. That's what happens when you don't pay your actors enough because they're Asian.
That's great news. Like, Hellboy seems to be doing the right thing, right? So I think, you know, the Daniel Day Kim casting was something they needed to make up for, something they didn't want any bad press from. And I think it's no surprise to get a first look at David Harbour as Hellboy now, because they want to focus on the good stuff. They want to focus on, you know, this is going to be a good movie where they're really going to try with it, and they really want to make a successful relaunch of the character. And I think it just makes sense. They should, you know, they've cast Daniel Day Kim. Let's get on and, like, appreciate him doing a killer performance in the movie instead of any of the controversy, because they've kind of righted a really significant wrong.
Absolutely. Well, Blake, that's all we have time for. But thank you so much for geeking out with us, I should say, for another gaggle of geeks.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys. Have a lovely Saturday geeking out.
Bye.
Bye.
You can catch all of Blake's reviews on Graffiti with Punctuation. You can also follow him on Twitter at BlakeIsBatman or us at 2SER. Join the geeky conversation. We are always happy to reply and just... we love geeking out. This is what we do. Coming up, though, on So Hot Right Now, we're going to be chatting about cats. Yes, of the meow kind. But to get you there, here's a tune from CK's Alex Cameron, who's back with his second solo album. This one's called Mongrel. You're into SER.
stare when he gets wild. Drops of blood in the green glass vial. Drops of blood in the green glass vial.
Join our friends at Event Cinemas George Street for the next installment of In the House Cult Classics on September 22nd, The Lost Boys. Sleep all day, party all night, never grow old, never die. It's fun to be a vampire.
One thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach, all the damn vampires.
Hosted by Sevens, Jabba and Quinny from Supernova. Check the full program and grab tickets at eventcinemas.com.au. Event Cinemas George Street, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture with me, Sophie Lai. And we're not just about arts and culture for humans, we're also here for your animals because there is a cat album for cats. We're joined on the line by Dr. Jay Norris, the veterinary scientific officer at RSPCA and an absolute cat savant, to talk about the music that they specifically made for your cat. Good morning, Jade.
Good morning.
First of all, do cats even like music?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly in these most recent studies that have come out, there have been some studies that have been done over in America showing that cats do like, respond and prefer species-specific music. And these researchers particularly developed music for cats, and they incorporated things like purring sounds, and simulated suckling sounds. You know, when cats are kittens, they can hear suckling noises. So they've incorporated those sorts of noises into music, and certainly cats in their studies respond and show a preference towards that type of music compared to more human pulse-based music.
Right. So when they were kind of doing this study, were they just cats in a room and then play a bit of purring a bit of doof underneath and then a bit more purring? Like,
yeah, so they basically exposed cats to different types of music, and then they monitored and examined their behaviour and their responses to that music. And what the cats in this study showed was that they showed a preference for the cat-type music, and they also tended to respond to that music more and showed an interest in that music. And sometimes that interest could also have just been calm, relaxed behaviour and also just falling asleep with the music on. So some of the cats responded with relaxed, calm, calming behaviour, and they were so calm they're actually able to fall asleep, you know, which is a good sign.
Always.
They obviously weren't agitated by the music.
Very good sign. Now, the RSPCA, you've created this specialised album. How was it kind of creating these noises and sounds and testing them on the cats, I guess?
Yeah, well, I mean, the RSPCA is involved in the campaign, but we had external parties actually developing the music, and then we've collaborated with those parties. So basically, we're using the music that the researchers over at the University of Wisconsin have developed, and we've incorporated that into our cat campaign, which is actually an awareness campaign about dissecting, microchipping, and keeping your cat safe.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone knows, but with springtime and the seasonal change, it's actually cat season. So what is it for people who don't know?
Yeah, so basically, like, all year round, the RSPCA does receive cats and kittens, but because of the way cats reproduce, when the temperatures start getting warmer, and actually as the length of daylight in a day starts to increase, what happens is cats come into breeding season. And so what we see at RSPCA shelters is a significant increase in the number of kittens being surrendered or dropped off to the RSPCA. So we see something like a fourfold increase in the number of cats coming into our shelters in this season. That's starting around about now in October. And during kitten season, we can see up to 500 kittens coming into our shelter a week.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's an eightfold increase in the number of kittens.
That's...
So for us, it means many, many more kittens that are unwanted that we need to find homes for.
Yeah, I mean, if they stay on the street, what kind of dangers will they face?
Yeah, I mean, if you're just like a young kitten, obviously very risky for you to be on the street, you know, from sort of traumatic accidents, being hit by a car or attacked by a dog, to, you know, not being able to find food and actually starving, to disease, you know, if you're very young, like 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks of age, you know, you can be susceptible to the elements, you know, heat, cold, all those sorts of things. So it is a dangerous situation to be on when you're just a kitten in the street. So we take them in and we nurse them and look after them, and we try to get them to their loving home.
And if someone sees, say, a stray family of young cats, what should they do?
Well, if they do find a litter of kittens, what they can do is ring their local RSPCA, and what we'll do is we'll run through what the options are, and we'll discuss with them what is best to do. It can vary a little bit depending on the situation, so it's best for them to call their local RSPCA, and then our staff can actually run through, get some more information, get some more context, and then we can take it from there and give some more information.
Fantastic. And now, as you mentioned, this cat album is to raise awareness for cat season. Will there be any other future musical projects for other animals, say dogs? Do dogs have a dog season?
Right, okay. Dogs don't really have a season like cats. Their reproductive systems are a little bit different. But yes, we'll think about that. I think there's nothing specifically in the pipeline, but I mean, you never know. There have been studies done on the effect of music on dogs, and particularly dogs in shelters, and what type of music might be used as enrichment to keep them like preoccupied and not getting bored in like a shelter environment. So there is some studies for dogs, and also like monkeys and what sort of music monkeys like. So it is something that we might look into down the track.
Excellent. Now, the Cat Ballad album is out now. Have the cats in the shelter been enjoying it, the music?
Yeah, we have been playing a bit of the music in our shelters, and we've got some pop-up signs so that people visiting the shelter can see, like, get some information about the music that's playing. And so we're just doing that intermittently, and it seems to be going pretty well.
Well, I guess you know what you're getting your cat for Christmas. But thanks, Jade. Thank you so much for talking to us here on 2SER this morning.
Thanks very much.
That was Dr. Jade Norris, the Veterinary Scientific Officer at the RSPCA. The cat album, I Need You Now, is out now. If you ever wondered what a cat ballad sounds like, here is Cat Mode. Enjoy. If you ever wanted to know what cat music, that is what cat music sounds like. A lot of purring. So, yeah, I guess your cat is sorted for Christmas if they ever feel like something to knock them out to sleep. You are listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. When we come back, we're going to be chatting with Nyopa. She's the founder of Make Nice, and they have an amazing new conference coming up for women creatives. But to get you there, here's a tune from The National. This one's called The System Only Dreams in Total Darkness.
Maybe I listen more than you think, and I can tell that somebody sold you. We said we'd never let anyone in. We said we'd only die of lonely secrets. The system only dreams in total darkness. Why are you hiding from me? We're in a different kind of thing now. All night you're talking to God. darkness. Why are you hiding from me? We're in a different kind of thing now. All night you're talking to God.
G'day friends, William Crichton here to let you know about Dashville Skyline, the Hunter's very own cosmic country weekender. It's held at the same place as the renowned Gumball Music Festival in Lower Belford, celebrating the roots of Americana, psychedelia, Australiana, rock and country music, combined with performances from some of the best new artists around. Dashville Skyline offers a unique family-friendly festival experience with world-class food and live music, camping and a full bar. For more information or tickets, go to dashville.com.au.
2SER sponsor.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of art and culture with me, Sophie Lai. And we're now joined by my lovely producer, Lakshmi. Hello.
Hey, Sophie.
How are you going?
I'm
going great. Welcome to So Hot this week, telling us what's happening this week. Heaps of stuff happening, though.
There's a lot of things going on. So I'm probably just going to give you a few highlights of what to attend this week.
Mm.
So next Friday night and Saturday is the Make Nice Unconference. It's their second unconference. It's basically where a bunch of creative boss ladies meet up, chat, drink and collaborate on business ideas, talk about work-life balance. You can buy your tickets at the Make Nice website, or we'll have all the details up on SER. But yeah, it sounds like a really hectic time. It's all day.
Yeah, for any creative woman out there, it's a head start. Let's
definitely
do it.
Definitely come join. And film fanatics, the Sydney Underground Film Festival is still on till tomorrow.
Ooh.
And it's at the Factory Theatre, Marrickville. The program is online on their website. Don't miss out.
Same time as the Sydney Fringe, though. Should be interesting to see who's rocking up there for the comedy fringe.
And maybe one more.
Yeah, what's happening?
Lastly, we've got the Big Anxiety. So it's the biggest mental health and arts festival in the world, and it's coming to UNSW at Kensington from September 20th to November the 11th.
So that's this Wednesday.
Exactly.
Big program. And it's most things are like free or under $15. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm going to a few events of that actually, including the long dinner, which should be very interesting just to see people unpack. There'll be live poetry.
Be sure to check out their program.
Yeah. Live poetry, everything. So their big launch will be on a Wednesday night. Details on thebiganxiety.org. But Lakshmi, thank you so much for So Hot this week.
Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. My time here is just about up. Big thanks to all our guests, including Angela Garrick and Yaron Gatsby from the complaint department. You can still make your complaints. Do you have any complaints, Lakshmi?
I'm going to sound very petty if I do, and I don't need to be judged any more than I already am. So I'm probably just going to keep my complaints to myself.
It's in the name of art. Be petty. Petty, petty, petty. Big thanks to Blake Howard from Graffiti with Punctuation from Gaggle of Geeks, and to Dr. Jade Norris from the RSPCA to talk about their cat album. It is cat season, so keep an eye out for any kittens that may look a bit lost if you see them on the street. This has been So Hot Right Now on 2SER. We'll catch you next week for more arts and culture. Stay tuned for Gonsville. Dub is in the air. But I'll leave you with a bit of LCD Sound System. Call the Police. Good old classic. Bye. This is nothing. This is